A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, by a sudden blow, I am taking away from you the delight of your eyes. But do not mourn or weep or shed any tears. Groan in silence. Make no lament for the dead. Bind on your turban. Put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your beard. And do not eat the customary bread. That evening, my wife died, and the next morning, I did as I had been commanded. Then the people asked me, "Will you not tell us what all these things that you are doing mean for us?" I therefore spoke to the people that morning, saying to them, "Thus the word of the Lord came to me. Say to the house of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord God, I will now desecrate my sanctuary, the stronghold of your pride, the delight of your eyes, the desire of your soul. The sons and daughters you left behind shall fall by the sword. Ezekiel shall be a sign for you. All that he did, you shall do when it happens. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. You shall do as I have done, not covering your beards, nor eating the customary bread. Your turbans shall remain on your heads, your sandals on your feet. You shall not mourn or weep, but you shall rot away because of your sins and groan one to another." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You have forgotten God who gave you birth. You were unmindful of the rock that begot you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. When the Lord saw this, he was filled with loathing and anger toward his sons and daughters. "I will hide my face from them," he said, "and see what will then become of them. What a fickle race they are, sons with no loyalty in them." "Since they have provoked me with their no God, and angered me with their vain idols, I will provoke them with a no people. With a foolish nation, I will anger them."
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Verbum Domini. The rich man in the gospel today had already been keeping the commandments, but he had a desire for something more. Something was missing in his life, and he was not yet content. He wasn't satisfied with where he was at in life. And this yearning in his heart is what brought him to the Lord. And he asked Jesus a very important question: what good must I do to gain eternal life? So he had clearly a desire for eternal happiness. And he wasn't only concerned about what sins that he had to avoid in order to get to heaven, but rather what good he must do. So while it's true that we must be aware of the sins, those obstacles to grace in our lives, and we must seek to root them out, right? That is very important. It's essential. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is union with God in heaven. And so there certainly is a loss of the sense of sin, right? That's widely spread. And so we do need to be aware of that. But again, it's also possible for us to be so hyper-focused on sin and rooting out sin that we forget the goal is union with God. And so that's one thing that we can get from this passage to reflect on. What good must I do? To think on making good resolutions, right? To do good, to cooperate with God's grace, works of charity. And concerning the young man's question, it's also, again, an opportunity to reflect on whether we have a checklist mentality when it comes to our spiritual life, right? So there's a lot of things that we want a proper balance, that we don't want to only reflect on what do I have to root out, although that's important. We also want to reflect on doing good, but also we want to avoid this checklist mentality of, if I just do this and this and this, and then I will be good, then I'll be safe and secure and get to heaven. So our spiritual lives should not be reduced to a simple checklist. Again, our goal is union with God, and we seek to grow in our relationship with him. Each day I want to get to know and love and serve the Lord better than I did the day before. And after the young man acknowledged that he had kept the commandments and asked what else he was lacking, our Lord asked him to forsake earthly treasures and to follow him exclusively. He was calling him to a total commitment. And it was an invitation to prepare for eternal life now, because we have to set aside earthly riches and possessions. We have to set everything aside when we go to the Lord, when we encounter him in heaven, when we depart from this life. Remember, our Lord said, "Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We just heard this account. This is in each of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we heard Matthew's account this morning. In Mark's account, he says a very important detail. He says that the Lord looked upon him and loved this young man. It gave the Lord joy that this man had a desire for eternal life. What good must I do to inherit eternal life? That very much pleased the Lord. And then the Lord encouraged him to follow that movement of grace, right? The Lord was giving him more with this invitation. If you want to be perfect in this life, I'm asking you to do this. So he invited him to sell what he had to give to the poor and to follow him. Again, we can apply this to our own spiritual lives as well. It's important to know that we are loved by God. The Lord looked upon him and loved him. It's important that we not doubt his love for us. It's very encouraging what our Lord told St. Catherine. He said, nothing pleases him more than when we believe that he loves us. This awareness and firm conviction can help us to persevere through trials and difficulties in life, that we're loved by Almighty God. As St. John Paul II would say, when everything would make us doubt ourselves and the meaning of our life, then this look of Christ, the awareness of the love in him, that he has shown itself more powerful than any evil and destruction. This awareness enables us to survive, this awareness of God's love for us. This invitation from the Lord in today's gospel cut right to the heart of this young man. He had a major decision to make. His Lord was inviting him. And it's important that these are what our Lord calls to follow, the evangelical counsels. They are counselors, so not commandments, right? This is an invitation. It must be freely accepted. So this young man, again, it cut right to his heart, but his attachment to his possessions, that became an obstacle to freely accepting the invitation. And we're told he went away sad. He preferred worldly possessions to possessing Christ himself. And he thought that his worldly possessions, his material goods, would bring him happiness. But remember, our Lord said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. The young man's attachment to his possessions is what held him back from following the Lord more closely, wholeheartedly. And so this gospel passage is an opportunity for us to examine ourselves, as many of the gospel passages are, that we see our own lives in this and how we want to become more like the Lord. And so we can ask, what are the obstacles in my relationship with God at this time? What is holding me back? Now is the time to work on removing them. Again, Pope John Paul II said that this young man was not ready to say yes to Jesus and no to self, to say yes to love and no to escape. Real love, Pope John Paul II said, is demanding, right? It requires sacrifice. If there's sadness in our hearts currently, perhaps it's because we're still attached to worldly things. We're still attached to something in this life, more so than I'm attached to God. Attachment to possessions and worldly things is an obstacle to our relationship with God. This is where a spirit of detachment is needed. It's necessary. It's very easy to begin to take comfort and trust in what we have, what we possess in this life. And then we begin to find our comfort in them rather than God, seeing God as the source of all that's good. And if we do become attached to our possessions, we're tempted again to love things more than God, to place our trust in them rather than in God. But this only leads us to emptiness inside. It will never lead to peace. St. Teresa of Avila made a very good observation. She said, it's when I possess the least that I have the fewest worries. And the Lord knows that, as far as I can tell, I'm more afflicted when there is excess of anything than when there is lack of it. So this is a very good observation to consider. The more I have, the more my mind tends to be distracted and concerned about those things that I have. And if we overindulge in unnecessary things, we easily lose a desire for prayer, desire for the things of heaven, for the spiritual life. But we know that Christ himself is the great possession in our lives. Right? If we have Christ, nothing is lacking. He is enough for us. And we can see this invitation to follow the Lord in the gospel today as addressed to each of us according to our state in life. We're all called to follow him, and if we respond generously, our hearts will be filled with that peace and joy that only God can give. And it is important for us to recall, to bring to mind, that we are all called to the evangelical counsels, right, of poverty, chastity, obedience, according to our state in life. Some are called to leave all behind to follow Christ more closely in the consecrated life by making vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But every single one of us is called to a life of detachment and simplicity of life. All of us are called to a life of chastity, which means fidelity to one's spouse or continence for those who are unmarried. And all of us are called to live a life of obedience to God and to the church. And it's by living these evangelical counsels that we empty ourselves of self and of attachment to the things of this life, that Christ might fill us with himself. And that's what leads to true joy and peace. So we pray today that each of us might respond more generously to that call that Christ gives us every single day, right, to follow him more closely, to live out the evangelical counsels according to our state in life. And we also, of course, continue to pray for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and the consecrated life.